that it?
JB didn't bother to reply. For the past hour or so, they'd been kept close company by a number of brightly colored wild birds, red-winged jays and muty crows, with brilliantly iridescent chest and wing feathers. But now, oddly, they had all vanished, and the morning had become totally still and silent. JB stopped and eased the Uzi off his shoulder, feeling a sudden, profound disquiet.
Abe, stay where you are for a moment.
But the warning was too late. The little gunner in the sun-baked hollow had felt something brush against his ankle and was standing very still, looking around him with paralyzed horror. Doc Tanner had picked up a fair bit of first aid over the years, and he hastened to put into practice what he could remember.
Shade. Check tongue. Not swallowed. Head to one side. Nothing blocking breathing. Pulse steady. Loosen clothes. Leave that for a moment. Then look at wound. Nasty. Lot of blood. What in perdition can have happened to the lady?
He carefully lifted the unconscious woman from the dirt, wheezing at her weight, feeling a stab of pain in the small of his back from the effort. He struggled to carry her and lay her gently down in the shade of a nearby fallen ponderosa.
Why, I do resemble poor mad Lear holding his dead daughter enfolded in his arms.
She was breathing in a rather shallow but reassuringly steady fashion. Doc turned her head so that her cheek was in the dust, making sure she was out of the direct heat of the sun. That done, he felt able to move his attention to the bloody wound. It had obviously been caused by a knife of some sort, though Doc's combat experience was too limited for him to make much of a guess at what kind of blade had been used. He fetched some water and soaked his favorite swallow's eye kerchief with it, knelt down with much creaking of knees, and began to mop away the blood. The cut was very recent, still weeping a copious amount of blood. But as he worked at it, Doc realized that it wasn't too deep or too serious. The wound ran from the left collarbone, diagonally down across the sternum, disappearing under the collar of the blouse, over the swell of the woman's right breast. Doc peered intently at the woman's face, trying to see if she was showing any sign of recovering from her faint. Close up, he could see that she had spent much of her life in the open air. Though he was aware of how lacking in skill he was, Doc figured her age to be somewhere in the late 30s or the early 40s. Nervously, fingers trembling, he began to unbutton her blouse, opening it up, seeing, as he had suspected, that she wore no sort of undergarment. He ignored the slight feeling of tightness and discomfort at the front of his breeches and concentrated on cleaning away all of the blood. He also ignored Judas's commentary on the situation. A wide trickle of crimson filled the valley between the woman's breasts, and Doc slid his kerchief into the canyon, wiping away the blood as best he could. The voice, right in his ear, made him jump so much he nearly dropped the wet cloth.
You don't have to make too much of a meal of it, Doc.
It was not my intention, madam, to interfere.
I can see that. I journey all the way from wind-washed Wisconsin and end up being cut across my tits by a rabid dwarf. And then I pass out, come around to find I'm being groped by some goat-like animal beater.
Goat-like?
She patted his hand.
Sorry, Doc. Tongue runs away with me sometimes.
Dwarf?
What?
I bethought that I heard you say that you had been attacked by a dwarf with rabies.
Yeah. Called himself the best guide west of the Pecos, or some such cheap vid nickname.
Doc sat back on his heels, absently squeezing the pink water from his kerchief.
Some wretch that you had hired as a guide did this to you? By the three Kennedys, if the running dog was still close by, I would take the greatest pleasure in teaching him a lesson he would never forget.
I did.
I would have him whipped at the tail of a cart, clean back to his birth parish, have him branded upon the shoulder, nay, the forehead, so that all might witness his roguery. Perhaps he should also be...
She laid a hand on his forearm.
Doc.
Yes?
He's deader than last year's hopes.
He is?
kneed him in the balls, grabbed his knife, opened him up from ear to shining ear.
Suki smiled at the expression on Doc's face.
Like to get on with mopping away the blood from where he cut me? I was kind of starting to enjoy it.
They finally agreed that the wound wasn't deep enough or serious enough to need stitching. Doc had an old shirt in his pack, and he tore off strips to make a rough bandage for the injured woman.
I heal well. Not much risk of infection. Funnily enough, his knife was about the only clean thing about the sick little runt. Never saw him wash all the days we were together.
Doc lit a small fire, suspending a can of water over it, ready to brew up some coffee sub. Judas ate quietly in the background. The old man gave the woman a drastically edited version of his own life, omitting all mention of time trawling and Emily and the children. Not quite sure why he'd done that. He simply told the woman that he lived with Jack and some friends, describing the ranch, but not going into much detail. He explained that he'd felt he needed some time on his own and was intending to return in another couple of days.
You needed to get your head together, Doc?
My head together? I fear that I am not familiar with that saying, Suki.
Heard it from my grandpa. Grandpa Polisar, that is, on my mother's side. He was real old. Remembered pre-dark. Used to talk about it.
She winced a little as the makeshift bandage tugged at the cut.
Fact is, he didn't talk about much else, especially in his late days. Memory went walking about a lot. Nice old guy, though.
The coffee will soon be ready. Do you wish to tell me something about yourself, other than coming from Wisconsin and being attacked by your stunted guide?
We got all day.
Indeed we do. Company is welcome, ma'am. We have all day and...
Doc hesitated.
All night, you were gonna say, weren't you?
He felt his cheeks grow warm.
Now you make me blush, dear lady.
Listen, you sort of saved my life, Doc. Now we're both a little past the first flush. I'm 43, if you want to know. So we don't want to go rushing our fences, do we?
No.
Suki Smith's life story wasn't particularly interesting and was fairly typical of what it was like to struggle for a living in the Deathlands. She'd been born and raised near the Ville of Rice Falls, Wisconsin, and married at 13 to the oldest son of the local baron.
He was 51 years old, Doc. One leg, one hand, and no dick. The man was dickless. I was widowed at 14. Best you don't even ask, Doc. Can't say he died happy. Then I married again at 17. Lasted a short while longer. Wheelwright. Got to wear my widow's black at 19. Husband was a nice enough guy, but he had a gross rad cancer. Got me pregnant. Miscarried. Sort of lost some of my plumbing to a butchered doctor. Couldn't have any more kids after that. They hacked a tumor the size of a grapefruit out of my man's jaw.
The day was passing, but Doc felt no urgency to cut Suki short. There was no need to move on. Nowhere special that he really had to be. Suki had married again at 22, but by then she had moved into Kansas, to a sodbuster's shack, with their nearest neighbor more than 30 miles away, and a wind that blew for 365 days a year.
He was kind enough, Harry was. We lived there for 6 years. God knows how. Every single hour was an eternity. Boredom became a kind of art form, all on its own. Piece of tumbleweed blowing by was a real event. Weeks might go by and we'd never say a word to each other.
Harry had gone out early one summer morning and hanged himself in their barn, using his own belt. Suki smiled at the memory.
Truth is, Doc, I didn't miss him for 2 weeks. I could smell him, but I kind of ignored it. Know how it is?
Her last marriage had been 6 months later, in the Pestholeville of Mason, Iowa. Truman Shelley was a widower with 6 children. The oldest of them just turned 9. Their mother had been crushed by an overturning wagon in the spring rains.
Truman had a dream of heading west. Heard about the orchards of California, oranges and lemons.
Their odyssey had ended in the mud of Deadwood, at the heart of a raging cholera epidemic.
You ever been there, Doc?
Once. If I recalled correctly, it rained.
It was a beautiful morning when I buried Truman and all the little ones.
All of them?
Yeah. Hardly time to turn from putting a copper coin on the eyes of one of them before another tiny heart had given up the struggle.
There was a cemetery up a hill.